The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews were complaining to each other about Jesus, because he had said, "I am the bread that has come down from heaven." "Surely this is Jesus, son of Joseph," they said. "We know his father and mother. How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus said in reply, "Stop complaining to each other. No one can come to me unless he is drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God,' and to hear the teaching of the Father and to learn from it is to come from me. Not that anybody has seen the Father except the one who comes from God. He has seen the Father. I tell you most solemnly, everybody who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the desert, and they are dead. But this is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that a man may eat it and not die. I am the living bread, which has come down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. So in our first reading this morning, we actually get a glimpse that God is Cornish. God comes from Cornwall, because what does he give Elijah when he wakes up? But a cream tea. That's what he gives him. He gives him a scone and something to drink. We're not told whether he puts the jam on first or the cream, but I think we can guess that God is obviously from Cornwall. I did a homily like this before once, and I said that God was from Ireland. And this little kid went home and said, "Father Antony said that God was from Ireland." And the parent said, "Father Antony needs to sort himself out, because he's obviously getting very confused. God is obviously from England." Anyway, so God is obviously Cornish, because he gives Elijah a cream tea. It's interesting, is it, all that the gospel and the reading, talk about moving. They talk about moving on. And St. Paul in the middle gives us an idea about how to move on, which is to forgive as we go through life, and to try and get over things and move forward. It's interesting, last Sunday, the other clergy in the... Well, I told him I was going anyway, so they had to sort it out. I went up to Wembley to see my football team play, because my father got me a ticket. I don't know how he got it, but he got a ticket. And so I said to Father John, "I've got to go." And he went, "Yeah." So anyway, that was it. So I thought that meant I was obviously allowed to go. So I went up. And when I went up, as I was walking down, because I'm from Wembley, it was like a school reunion. Because I was walking down the street and someone would say, "Hey, Anthony, how are you?" And I thought, I saw some of my friends, I thought, time hasn't been good to you, has it? You know, I thought to myself, God, I thought I'd age, but dear, oh dear, you've had a rough life. Anyway, so they're all walking down past me. And one chap came up and he said, "Anthony," and I hadn't seen him for a long time, he said, I hear you've gone a bit holy." I said, "I have, yeah." "You shouldn't be going into that football stadium." I said, "Why not?" He said, "No, don't go into the football stadium." I said, "Why?" He said, "I remember what you were like at school. You're very competitive." He said, "And you might lose it." I said, "I won't lose it." He said, "But you know, you're holy now, and you look." I said, "I'll be fine." And we went in, and he was actually sitting behind me, and I could feel these eyes digging into the back of my head. So first thing out of place, I'd have been in trouble. Anyway, we watched the match, and of course, as you know, we won. Now, I thought I had to bring it down and show you that the best team in the world won. You see, there we are, they won. I thought I'd better bring it down. Do you know, it's amazing, you go into Wembley and they take everything off of you, and then they give you probably the most dangerous weapon you could possibly have. I mean, I could poke someone's eye out with that. Anyway, that's what they give you. But yeah, this chap found it hard that somebody like me, who he'd been to school with, had moved on. I then met another bloke who came over, and he said to me, he said, "Where did that posh accent come from?" I said, "What do you mean posh accent?" He said, "You never used to speak like that." He said, you're all kind of, I can understand you now." I said, "Couldn't you understand me before?" "Well, yeah, you know, but, you know, you don't use any sort of that rhyming slang anymore." I said, "No," I said, "because I'm a priest." But it's interesting, is it? Because, as I say, it's about moving on. And one of the things we find hardest in life is to move on, because it's something we're not comfortable with. We'd like things to stay the way they are. But in the gospel, that, you know, the people who listen to Jesus are swiftly coming to the conclusion things are moving on. Jesus has moved on. You know, they look at him and they see the son of Joseph, who is the carpenter. They can't get their head around the fact that he's actually now beginning his mission as the Son of God. And you can't blame them. I mean, just like my friend who saw me going down to Wembley, you know, Anthony, you shouldn't be going in there. You know, you shouldn't be here anymore. You know, you've become holy. You should be somewhere else now. And Jesus gets the same response. You know, if you're going to do a mission, don't come to us. Go somewhere else, because we know you as someone as the carpenter. And it's interesting also in that first reading, Elijah wants to give up. I don't want to move any further. Let me sit under this tree and we'll call it a day. But God says, no, you've got to move on. And of course, in both the gospel and the first reading, we have the food. You know, it's a scone in the first reading, but in the gospel, of course, it's the bread of life. It's Jesus himself. And the one thing we know is that as we move through life and as we move on, we have the Eucharist as a certainty. It's always there. And we know that Jesus is always there. He will not abandon us as we move on. But it's not easy. To move on through life, you know, we have to move on from certain situations and circumstances. And that's why Paul's letter in the middle of the whole lot of it is so important. How do we move on? Well, to move on, sometimes we have to try and forgive someone. We might have to try and move on from someone. We might have to try and move completely. And sometimes, you know, things scar us that happen where we are. Things will hit us to the core. And every time we try to move a bit forward, we're dragged back because we keep thinking of that thing, or that incident, or that moment. And St. Paul says, you know, it's not always going to work, but try and forgive. When I was at the football, there was a chap there who I was at school with, and we went all the way through school, and I couldn't stand him. We just didn't get on. And I thought, you know, I've moved on now. I'll go over and I'll say hello. It can't hurt. So I went over there and I went, hello, how are you? And all right. I thought, right, I better leave him to it. And I walked away. You know, you can do so much to move on in life. But it is a two-way thing. But the one thing that Jesus reminds us in the gospel is that, yes, it's hard. You know, the one thing we're certain about is tomorrow will be different from today. The one thing we are certain about is that in a week's time, it will be different from today. Time always moves forward, but we're not good at change. And in the gospel, Jesus knows that. You know, he doesn't ever go at the people who are saying, how can you say all these things? He just reminds them who he is. And he says to them, yes, it's difficult, but you will always have the bread of life. You will always have me by your side. And so I suppose today, in a special way, it's a moment where we just think to ourselves of, you know, of our lives. Maybe we think of people who have helped us along our journey. Somebody who has said that helping words. Somebody who has been there when we were in trouble. Somebody who has given us some good advice. But we also, I think, in a way, remember those who perhaps we still haven't forgiven. Perhaps we remember those who we will never be able to forgive. We remember those who hurt us in a deep way. But the one thing we know is that as we now go forward in life, these things will happen again, but Jesus is by our side. And every time we gather to receive the Eucharist, we receive the bread of life into ourselves and our hearts. So that as we go forth on this journey, when we get the times like Elijah, when we just want to sit down and call it a day, when we get the times like the people in the gospel and we just can't comprehend what's going on, how people move on, the one constant we have and the thing that we always keep in our hearts is that Jesus will always be there. You know, and in life we will achieve many great things. In life we will be hurt, we will have joy. But Jesus will be there. And every time we receive the Eucharist, we receive him into our hearts. And it reminds us that he's truly part of our lives.